Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Let you
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I believe I'm a supernatural being. Amen. Y'all give me a second to get my little stuff together here. Amen. That's a very powerful song. Amen. I got quite a few songs that I say is my anthem or my theme song, praise the Lord. And I can truly say that that's one of them. Amen, one of many. Amen, because how many know that we are supposed to be supernatural in nature? Amen? Amen, we serve a supernatural God. And if he's our father, and we're supposed to be his children, his offspring, then guess what? If our father's a supernatural being, come on now, we could be supernatural beings too. Amen, even though we're in a fleshly, earthly body, amen, and Jesus demonstrated that oh so well. Amen. I would like to welcome you all to another Talk Shoe segment of Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I'm your host, Apostle Lionel Blair, and we have a continuation of our last message, praise God, on, my God, Kingdom Alignment. Amen. Kingdom Alignment. I just want to recap last segment, because last segment was pretty heavy. It was pretty heavy last segment. I kind of walked heavy a little bit. I would advise you all to check that segment out again. I posted it on Facebook, but I will post it again So you all can go back and listen to that. But we talked about kingdom alignment, and as far as last segment, we talked about being that the kingdom of God is spiritual, we must be spiritually aligned in order to even operate in the kingdom of God. Amen. Too many times we be carnal in our flesh, talking about we operate in the kingdom. Amen. But we can't be in a spiritual kingdom, serve a spiritual God, and operating according to our fleshly carnal nature. Amen. I talked about the Lord gave me a revelation on spirit, soul, and body. And this is something that he gave me about a few years ago. Amen. But I never really made it a public teaching. Amen. But I talked about our spirit, our soul, and our body, and how when we align spiritually, proof of that when we are aligned spiritually would be when our spirit, our soul, and our body actually begin to line up and begin to operate as one. Amen. Until then, the word of God will continue to divide our soul and spirit until our soulish man is made subject to our spirit man, because the spirit man is the part of us that relates directly to God. Amen. When the Holy Spirit, when your spirit man becomes alive and the Holy Spirit actually begins to come and actually reside in you, amen, that's the only place that he's going to reside in. Amen. He's going to reside where your spirit man is at. Amen. And I told I said this, that the flesh is our soulish man in its unregenerated state. Amen. It's our soulish man that has not been conformed. And I got a little deeper than what I'm saying now. So if you don't understand what I'm saying, amen, I would advise you to go back into the archives and listen to the teaching that I did the other day on the subject. I talked about being born again and everything. I covered all of that, what it truly means to be born again. And you'll be surprised that a lot of people are not born again. The Bible says unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, nor can you enter into it. That word see also means to perceive or understand. So the reason why you can't understand kingdom things is because you're carnal-minded, for those who can't understand it. Amen. A lot of this kingdom stuff is kind of deep for some folks, because the only reason why it seems so hard to grasp is because, you know, you're still operating in the carnal realm. Amen. And the church has been guilty of this. Amen. I thank God that he's raising up a new breed of people now. Amen. And he's raising up he's actually raising up his bride in this hour. Amen. He's actually raising up the bride. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He's actually raising up the bride in this hour. Amen. And see, the thing about it is the bride is going to be those who are spiritual, those who are spiritual minded. Amen. Those who are acquainted with the supernatural. I ain't talking about their spooky stuff, but I'm talking about a genuine a supernatural lifestyle in which God is actively participant in. Amen. And everything that comes with God. Amen. So many times we as believers become so powerless because we refuse to repent. Repent means to change your mindset. We refuse to change our mindset. Don't you know that was the first thing Jesus challenged when he started his earthly ministry? The first thing that he challenged was the mindset of the people. Amen. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. He said, change your mindset, because I'm bringing that which you've been hoping for all this time, that which was in the law and the prophets. Amen. But it's not coming in a way in which you expect. My God. It's not coming in a way that you expect. So in order to see it and perceive it the way that it is, you're going to have to change your way of thinking. Amen. Jesus began to revelate what the law and the prophets really meant when it came to certain prophecies. Amen. After Jesus came out of the wilderness, amen, I believe he went into the synagogue, and he had read a prophecy from Isaiah. Mm-hmm. And it talked about how the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel, you know, bringing deliverance to the captives, opening the eyes of the blind, bringing sight to the blind, amen, all of that. He said, this day, this has been fulfilled. And I'm pretty sure them folks looked at him, was like, this is fulfilled in your eyes. What you mean by that? Amen. See, they was looking for something natural. And see, they knew the law and the prophets had a prophecy of a coming king. Amen. But they expect Jesus to come out in the sky with gold dripping off his behind. Amen. Come on. And they missed their visitation because Jesus came in a humble state. Amen. They expect him to be dressed like royalty and majesty, and they expected him to just be all eloquent and use all these big sophisticated words. And no, Jesus came humble. Even though he was the King of glory, he came humble. Amen. He humbled himself as a servant. Amen. So, but even in the midst of that, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Praise God. So understand that a lot of times the Lord will come in a way that you don't expect, but being that it's not packaged according to the way that you think it should be packaged, many people miss it. That's why the church is missing it now. Amen. Because they're looking for natural things and manifestations, amen, to happen. Amen. And the thing about it is this thing must be obtained in the spirit. You got to get out of the natural and the carnal realm and begin to enter into the spirit realm. Now, I'm talking about the spirit realm of the kingdom of God, by the spirit of God. I'm not talking about the other side. Amen. Because some folks will take that and flip it and say, well, I'm in the spirit. You know, but they're really operating in some hocus pocus. Amen. I'm not talking about no hocus pocus. I'm talking about that which is lined up according to the word of God. All right? Praise God. So we must be born again. Amen. I talked about what being born of water meant and what being born of spirit meant. Amen. So, praise God. Let's kind of dig in this thing today. I don't plan to be before you long. I really don't. I want to say this. In order to be properly aligned in the kingdom of God, we must be first properly aligned with the King. Amen. That being Jesus, the King of Kings. Amen. Matter of fact, in order for you to rule, you and I to rule and reign in the earth as kings and princes, amen, we must be properly aligned with the King of Kings. Amen, the one that hold our kingship in his hand. Amen. So plenty of times, you know, I've heard many different preachers, and I'm not trying to bash too many people, amen, at all. But, you know, certain things I just got to bring correction to. You know, you hear all these prosperity preachers, and, you hear all these preachers talking about taking authority and doing all of this stuff, but they're not even properly aligned with the King. How are you going to take authority when you live in any kind of raggedy lifestyle? Amen. I'm not talking about making mistakes, amen, stuff that God is still working with you on, amen, and you're working towards perfection. Amen. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about repeated offenses. Some people are repeated offenders. Amen. I'm talking about repeated offenses. You keep making excuses for where you are and not trying to allow God to better you and, first of all, deliver you. Amen. Let me talk about deliverance for a second because I tell folks this all the time, and my apostle Ted says it too. If your pastor is not doing deliverance, you need to run. Amen. If they don't cast out devils, you need to run. Amen. You cannot be saved apart from deliverance. You'll be surprised how many Christians have not received any kind of deliverance ministry, never had no devils cast out of them, never had no issues dealt with in their own lives, amen, and then they run around with all this stuff caked up on the inside of them, wonder why they never have no personal victory or breakthrough, always miserable, always gossiping, always talking about somebody, and then they want to try to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, but they end up trying to flow in the Spirit in the flesh. Amen. And that is what produces witchcraft, because witchcraft is first a work of the what? The flesh. Amen. See, divination is the spirit. Witchcraft is the practice. Amen. I know I've fooled some, I know I messed some folks' theology up right there. Amen. Amen. It's all right, we cast out the spirit of witchcraft, but understand this, it's the spirit of divination you should be casting out and canceling the works of witchcraft. That's the proper way to do it. You'll get faster results. Amen. All right, so we must be properly aligned with the King. Amen. And see, let's talk about Jesus for a second here. First of all, before we do that, let me share with you some royal principles here. Let me share with you some royal principles. Because, see, in the kingdom of God, it's about royalty. And you can't look at it from the way the world looks at it. See, let me tell you something about the culture of America. America is built upon a culture that naturally was in rebellion against a theocracy. Amen. So it's harder for people over here to perceive the things of the kingdom as if it was to somebody that was in Africa or some more countries over there that's used to kingdoms. Amen. That's why we see greater miracles over there than you do over here. Amen. The dead being raised over there is a norm. Why? Because they understand royalty. And being that they understand royalty, when God comes and he brings his kingdom or introduces his kingdom, it's easier for them to fall into place. Amen. And it's a lot easier for them to receive from God. Amen. And it's a lot easier for them to operate in the supernatural. Amen. Even if they do have, even if they are in different countries that have presidents now, but they have a history of kings. Amen. They have a history of kings and princes reigning. Amen. They understand royal principles. Us over here, democracy, people rule. Amen. Everybody get to say what is and what ain't. Amen. In the kingdom, the king is the one who rules. Amen. That's the problem now. Too much folks got too much say-so and what they can and can't do and what can and can't happen. Amen. What is God saying? Amen. What is God saying? Is it lined up according to the word of God? Is it the season and the time for it? Oh, my God. Amen. Let me tell you something. In order to know how the kingdom operates, you got to know the heart of the king. The heart of the king is shown by his laws. Amen. The heart of the king is shown by his laws. It shows what type of person the king is and how he feels about certain stuff. Mm-hmm. You can tell how the king feels about certain things by the types of laws he establishes. Glory to God. Amen. You can tell. When we keep the laws of the king close to heart to make sure we obey them, then we can continue to partake of the benefits of his kingdom. Glory to God. Amen. You wonder why people can't really receive from God or fully operate in kingdom things. Amen. Because they're not abiding by the laws of the kingdom. Amen. Now Jesus had commanded us to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbors as ourselves. He said, "Upon this hang all the law and all the prophets." Amen. So he pretty much simplified it for us. Because, see, if we love God, we're going to love our neighbor. Amen. If we love our neighbor, we're not going to do ill to our neighbor, regardless of what they do to us. Amen. Glory to God. All right, so when we can't love, we can't be in the kingdom. And let me tell you, before I go any further on this love thing, the Bible says God chastises those that he loves. He chastises those that he loves. So there's a firm side of love too. Amen. There's a firm side of love. Amen. But nevertheless, it's still love. People know when they're loved, even when they're being corrected. Amen. You may act like you don't know, but best believe you feel and know when love is coming forth. Amen. So in order to understand the heart of the king, we must first begin to understand his laws. That's why it's good to get into a place where we're intimate with God. Amen. We develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ. Amen. Get into a place where we develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit and that we know the Word of God in context, in its proper context. Amen. Too many times the Word is interpreted out of context, and you know certain scriptures are used to make excuses for habitual sin against the Lord. Amen. The problem is that people are trying to operate in the kingdom while bypassing the king. But you can't, if you're not submitted to the rule of the king, you can't operate in the kingdom. Amen. And see, the problem is that there's too many people trying to operate without being submitted to the king and the order in which he has established. Amen. And that's why so many people struggle in their walk with the Lord, because they're not submitted to the rule of the king. Amen. It's all going to make sense in a minute. Amen. So when we obey, we can continue to partake of the benefits of the kingdom of God. Amen. That's in any natural kingdom. Even in the United States of America, if we go by the laws and if we don't break the laws, we'll continue to enjoy the freedom of the United States of America. Oh, but if we break them laws, oh, yeah, either we're going to get fined, brought to court, or even thrown in jail depending upon the nature of the offense. So it's the same thing even now. Amen. It's the same thing now. Praise God. In the kingdom of God, if we continue to cause offenses and commit offenses, yes, God is a benevolent, he's a loving God, he's a forgiving God, but best believe the more we do it, the more bondage we put ourselves in. Amen. The more we do it, the more bondage we put ourselves in. Amen. If you don't operate according to certain principles, amen, you will end up causing yourself, amen, to be put in bondage. Amen. The same thing goes for me. The same thing goes for everybody. Praise God. Amen. The same thing goes for everybody else. All right? So, once again, now, I'm going to say this. The heart of the king is shown in his laws. You or I can tell how he feels about certain types of things by the laws which he establishes. When we keep the laws of the king close to heart to make sure we obey them, then we can continue to partake of the benefits of being in his kingdom. Disobedience and rebellion to the laws and commandments are actual acts of dishonor to the king himself. Amen. It is dishonorable to break the king's laws. Amen. Even in a natural kingdom, it is dishonorable to break the laws of the king. My God. Folks better catch this. Because, see, the church has lost the principle of honor. Amen. When you honor somebody who's in a position of authority is certain things that you're not going to do to upset that person or to offend that person. See, that's the problem now. Amen. We just so used to doing what we want to do, saying what we want to say. Amen. You can't talk to the king crazy. Amen. You can't look at the king crazy. Amen. You can't come before the king crazy. Amen. And some of us, amen, we come before the Lord, we talk to him any kind of way, we come before God any kind of way, amen. Understand that we cannot continue to operate like this and expect to receive the benefits of the kingdom of God. Amen. So the principle of honor is the understand is when you honor the king, you honor what he honors. Ah, my God. When you honor the king, you honor what he honors, and you honor who he honors too. Uh-oh. Amen. Every believer has a measure of honor upon their life from the Lord. But understand this, everybody's honor is not at the same level. Amen. See, folks don't like this. See, only Jezebels won't like this. Only folks who don't like God's government will hate what I'm about to say. Amen. If God places honor upon a person, you and I have to honor that and honor them the way that God expects for them to be honored. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. In a natural kingdom, if somebody celebrated, if the king celebrates somebody, everybody better celebrate them. And be happy about it, too. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. If God places honor upon somebody, celebrates them, puts them in a position of authority, and gives them a certain measure of authority in his kingdom, amen, you better honor it. Especially if you fall under the jurisdiction of their authority. And even if you don't, amen, just the fact that God places honor upon them, then guess what? You got to honor that. Amen. There's even certain people. In our ministry, praise God. There's even certain people in our ministry that I just don't talk to any kind of way. Now these are people that's under my authority now. Amen. But I respect who God says that they are. Now when it comes time to bring correction, I have the authority to do that. But I'm not going to mistreat them, talk to them crazy like they nothing, or treat them like they nothing. Amen. And because they're under my authority, I'm not going to just treat them like my slaves. Amen. Because whether they're prophets, evangelists, teachers, whoever they are, I honor and respect what God honors and respect. Amen. And according to the ranking of God upon their lives, I treat them as such. See, folks don't want to hear me tonight. Amen. Folks don't want to hear me tonight. Amen. Because see, we want to continue to say, well, I got authority too. Yeah, you have authority, but if you meet somebody else who has authority, amen, then you got to respect that too. And then some folks operate in false authority because they're not in the kingdom. See, I'm trying not to go here, Lord Jesus. Everybody's not in the kingdom. Amen. Everybody's not in the kingdom of God, and we must begin to operate. In divine alignment with God and what he's doing and what he has established. Amen. Praise God. I pray ain't losing nobody so far. Amen. I shouldn't. Praise God. All right, so. So we can't dishonor the king. To disobey means to dishonor. To dishonor a king was a very grievous offense. Amen. Amen. Even in the natural kingdom, folks got their head chopped off. Now, we know in the kingdom of God, you know, things operate a little differently. Even the consequences are a little different, but there's still consequences. Amen. If there's no repentance. All right? But like I said, honor is something that the church has lost. Amen. We must obey God's laws. All right? The law was actually really considered a contract. It was almost like a covenant between the king and those who were subject to his rule. Praise God. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. Because of this dishonor, this is how Israel got into captivity. Praise God. This is how Israel got into captivity. Amen. Glory to God. They even missed their visitation to be delivered out of their captivity. Yeah, because like I explained earlier, when Jesus came on the scene, amen, they were still in captivity under Roman rule. Amen. They were given a little measure of authority. I'm talking about the Pharisees. Rome let them keep their culture, their style of worship. They let them keep the law and all that as long as they were under Roman rule. Rome had conquered. During Jesus' time, Rome had conquered all of the known world. That's why Rome was an empire. Amen. An empire is consisted of many kingdoms. And I'm not going to get too deep on y'all today. An empire consisted of many kingdoms. Amen. Under its rule. Amen. All right. So understand this, that when Jesus came on the scene, he was the deliverer, and he brought deliverance. But the Jews were so busy looking at that which was natural that they missed the supernatural. Come on now. They missed their visitation. They missed the promise. Amen. So then God ended up visiting the Gentiles, and they gladly received it. Amen. Just like that scripture that says that I was found amongst the people that wasn't even looking for me. And see, that's the problem now. When you're heavily traditionalized, amen, and heavily churched, amen, just like the Pharisees, they were so into the law and they were so traditionalized that they couldn't see past their tradition. Amen. And see, that's the problem now. A lot of us, we cannot see past our tradition. And see, that's why we're missing God, because we cannot see past what we always known to be. And we cannot accept anything other than what we've always been taught to be right. And that's why a lot of us are missing our visitation and the move of God because of this very thing here. Praise God. All right. All right, y'all. Amen. So, but understand is that God's intention was kingdom from the beginning. If you go to Exodus 19 and 6, he said this, Exodus 19 and 6, he said, I will make you a what? Kingdom of priests. This was after the Lord took Israel out of Egypt, amen, part the Red Sea, did all those wonderful works and miracles, amen. He ended up saying, hey, look here, you know, Adam dropped the ball, amen. I desired to make him a great nation in his lineage and, you know, make him, give him a kingdom, but now look, I'm going to make y'all a kingdom of priests, amen. So his agenda was a kingdom from the beginning. He desired to have a family of royal people who had direct access to him. Amen. But you know what they did? Always, their hearts and their minds was all the way back in Egypt. That's why they brought Egypt's gods with them. Amen. That's why they ended up worshiping a golden calf when they thought Moses was taking too long on the mountain. Amen. After they seen God do all this stuff, they say, well, we're going to make us a golden calf, and we're going to say this one that brought me out of Egypt. First of all, how are you going to serve something you made with your own hands? That's stupid. But anyway, that goes to show how blind you can be when you try to bring the world into something that is supposed to be kingdom. Amen. That's why a lot of these churches are not kingdom, because they're bringing the world's systems, the world's principles, the world's gods and worldly spirits, amen, and worldly ways of thinking and acting and being into the assemblies of God, amen, that are supposed to be of God, amen, and they're going to try to incorporate them like the Pharisees did when they try to incorporate Babylonian mysticism into the law. That's where you get Kabbalah from. Amen. When you try to incorporate worldly things into certain principles that's supposed to be of the kingdom of God. Amen. You end up producing something that never lasts, end up producing something that don't work. You end up producing nothing but a bunch of empty religion, amen, with false religious familiar divination spirits, amen, deceiving and fooling the people and keeping them in a comfort zone and in a place, amen, that God never meant for them to be in the first beginning, causing them to be in a place where they can't produce nothing for the kingdom. Amen. Can't produce nothing. What they do has no spiritual substance behind it. It don't deliver nobody. It don't change nobody. It gives folks quick fixes. Amen. Am I helping somebody? Amen. So God is, in this season, God is trying to get us up out of that. Amen. God is trying to get us out of that mode. Amen. And if you're and if you're in the chat room or on the line, amen, be sure to spread the word. Amen. That we're on the air tonight. Amen. This is a very timely word. Amen. It's a very important word because this is part of what God is doing in this season. Amen. Too many times, you know, we just go ahead on and just, you know, accept things for what they are and, you know, never really come to a full understanding of who God is, how his kingdom operates, none of that. Amen. So it's time now, amen, out for all of that. Praise God. Amen. All right, y'all. So God's intention was kingdom from the beginning, but Israel's issue was that they was just too carnal. Amen. They was just too carnal. Amen. Hold on, y'all. Let me get this together. Glory to God. Amen. All right, y'all. All right, y'all. So, let's go to 1 Samuel for a second. 1 Samuel. I really feel led to go here because Israel always rejected God's government. Israel always rejected God's rule. Amen. Israel always rejected God's government. And it ended up costing them. Amen. It cost them a whole kingdom. And it produced almost seemingly an endless cycle of just disaster after disaster. Amen. Because when you reject God's government, you begin to, that means you accept the world's government, which is governed by Satan. Amen. And you become under his rulership and under his thumb rule. Amen. And then he begins to run your life. Amen. You'd be surprised how many folks that go to church, but their lives are completely ran by the enemy. Amen. It's really sad, but God is changing it. Amen. It's just like in the days of Jesus, even now, you know, folks can't grasp the kingdom message. They're actually coming up against it. Amen. And God has to, and God is being found amongst a people, amen, who are not necessarily looking for him. He's being found amongst the people who are not into that traditional church stuff. Amen. That ain't producing no fruit. Glory to God. Mm-mm. All right, y'all. 1 Samuel I'm gonna just start at verse chapter 8, verse 1. I'm just start at verse 1 here. It says, "Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel." Notice, he made his sons judges over Israel. Rule number one, amen. If somebody's not walking in the ways of the Lord and he has not appointed them, don't appoint folks. Leaders, let me tell you something. Somebody can be naturally qualified for a position all day long, but if they're not spiritually qualified, then you're going to be held accountable if you put them in place. Amen. This was a major mistake on Samuel's part. Amen. Because it says he made his sons. It didn't say God told him to appoint him. Amen. When Aaron became priest, Moses told the Lord told Moses to set aside Aaron and his sons for the office of the priesthood. God said it. But it says he made his sons judges over Israel. We have to make sure that it's God that's making people and not us. Amen. We have to make sure that it's God that's making people and not us. Amen. All right. And the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. He made his sons, y'all, he made his sons, and you can tell that they were put in position because of the position that their father had, but they have not been processed. Amen. You cannot operate in a ministry or operate in an office in which you have not been processed for. That's why you got all these folks call themselves prophets now, amen, and you can tell the immaturity there. You can tell that they have not been processed, amen. And I'm going to tell you something. In order to operate legally operate in the kingdom, you must submit to the process, amen, amen. Kings are groomed from young ages, amen. Whatever you are appointed to a position in a, even in a natural kingdom, you have to be groomed for that position. Amen. It's not something that you just come into because of who you connected to. Amen. Matter of fact, depending on who you connected to, amen, your process might be a little bit harder. I pray that didn't go over somebody's head. Amen. Depending on who you're connected to, amen, and how close you're connected to them, if they are in a position of power or of high rank, amen, your process may be a little bit harder. Amen. So it says, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel in Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." See, that was Israel's problem. They always wanted to be like all the rest of the nations. Amen. They wanted to be like everybody else. Amen. They wanted to do what everybody else did. Amen. The laws of God wasn't enough for them. Amen. They wasn't satisfied with God to rule over them. They wanted a man to rule over them. Now, they had a judge to govern them. Amen. They had a judge. They had judges to govern them. Amen. But when you talk about kings, that means that the king owns you. A king owns everything that's in his kingdom, including the people. So you can only imagine what that's saying to God. God is looking at it like, I've already appointed a judge to govern you, but now you want a king to act in place of me? Yeah, because see, kings deserve worship. Amen. Kings are worshipped. You bow to kings. Amen. See, God knew what this meant. Amen. Some people may say, well, what's the difference between a judge and a king? Amen. Judges were governors. Kings were owners and rulers. Amen. So this was like a slap and an insult in God's face. That's like your child telling you, I don't want you to be my mother or my father no more. I want another mother or father because I like the way that they do stuff. I like their ways better. I don't like the way you do stuff. I don't like the way that you discipline. I don't like the way that you raise me. I don't like the way that you take care of me. I want to be taken care of like them. Amen. As a parent, that would be a slap in your face. So as God not only being a father but a king, that is a dishonor to the king. Amen. It says, verse 6, it says, the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. Amen. So Samuel prayed to the Lord and said, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. See, Samuel felt like that they had rejected him too, as well as the Lord, because they no longer wanted him to judge them. Amen. And see, God had already had his system in place, and he intended it for it to stay that way. I'm going to tell you something. When God puts somebody in leadership, amen. See, this is the way it should be. Whoever God appoints, God governs that person. Amen. And that's how the whole assembly as a whole is governed. Now, I ain't talking about your individual walks. Amen. But I'm talking about when it comes to the direction of a local assembly. Amen. But if we just say, hey, you know that's like folks church hopping, and you know God sent you somewhere. Well, I don't like the way that you do stuff. God, I don't like the way that they do stuff. I don't believe, even though you told me to stay here, I'm not staying here. So therefore, you know, I'm gonna leave and go somewhere else and do what I want to do and go somewhere with pleasing my flesh and just do me. Amen. That's a slap in God's face, and that's a dishonor to the one that he's placed over your life to spiritually impart and lead you. Oh, yeah. See, if we truly understood honor in the church, amen, we would truly honor God and honor what he has established. You cannot receive honor if you don't give it. Amen. If you dishonor the government of God, then don't expect God to honor you. And don't expect to be in a governmental position. All right, y'all. Amen. I know some folks don't believe me, but that's all right. Amen. We're going to get there, y'all. We're going to get there. So God said, you rejected me. You don't like my order. You don't like the way that I established stuff. You rejected me. Verse 8, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even till this day. So even since they've been delivered, even since their first deliverance, they've been dipping and dabbling and backsliding back and forth between the world and the kingdom. See, we can't be worldly one moment and be in the kingdom the next and still expect God to bless us. Amen. Still to expect God to be with us. Either we're going to be all kingdom or we're going to be all world. That's why the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You don't know which one you want to serve. Amen. You say you want to serve God, but you're still over here dabbling in the world. Amen. Faith without works is dead. So if you believe that you want to serve God, then you're going to work towards that. Amen. But you're not going to continue to dip and dabble into the world, the world's principles, the world's ways of doing things. Amen. Praise God. All right, y'all. So it says, which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Amen. So Samuel felt bad, but God said, you know what? The very thing that they're doing to you, amen, they did it to me first. Leaders, let me encourage you right now. Amen. if you know that you're doing what God has told you to do to the best of your ability, let me tell you something. If you know that you're in right standing with the Lord, and if you have people constantly fighting against you and stuff, I'm going to tell you something. They did it to God first. Amen. They did it to God first. Amen. They did it to God in their heart, and they just outwardly, showing you what they did to God in their hearts. Glory to God. All right. So it says, now therefore heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. I'm going to tell you something. Don't you know sometimes God will judge you by giving you what you want? That thing which you want more than him, sometimes God will judge you by giving it to you. Yeah, he will. Israel wanted a king. God said no, but they insisted anyway. God said, okay, I'll give you one. But I'm going to tell you what this king going to be. And just to skip all these verses, he going to be selfish, and he going to use your goods to satisfy his needs and the ones who are his yes men. Amen. And I just summed it all up. Amen. The description of the manner of king that they would serve, and that's from verses 11 all the way to verse 17. Amen. I just pretty much summed it up. So it says, and you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourself, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Amen. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us. Amen. So they refused to listen to the leader that God placed over them. Amen. Who was actually of God. Amen. Who was actually ordained of God. Amen. So understand this, that it goes to show that they had no respect for the government of God. Amen. They had no respect or regard for the kingdom order that God established. So God said, hey, you want somebody world incarnate to reign over you? I'm going to let them reign over you. Amen. And don't come crying to me. And God said, I'm a permanently establish this. Don't come crying to me when he start abusing you, amen, taking your stuff for his own selfish gain. Amen. And I'm telling you, in this season, amen, folks better start getting with what God is doing. Amen. Folks better start respecting the government of God. I know everybody, you know, I don't get into the whole numerology thing, amen, because our calendar is pretty much pagan, you know, really it's not the year 2012. I don't got time to get all deep into that, amen. But, you know, one thing I can say is that 12 is a number of government. This is a season. The Lord told me specifically that this is a season in which his kingdom government will become realized. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, and I feel led to go here too. There are real men and women of God out here. Amen. I know we see a lot of flukes and a lot of fakes. Amen. But there are real men and women of God out here. Amen. And you better not fool with them. Amen. You better keep your mouth off of them. If you don't understand the ministry, if you don't understand the mandate, if you don't understand the call, it's best to go ahead, leave it alone, pray about it, and really ask God to show you. You, first of all, you got to check yourself. Amen. Because I'm telling you, it's just like in the days of Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the apostle, they dropped dead at the apostle's feet. I'm telling you. People are cursing these real men and women of God. I'm telling you, stuff going to end up happening. See, folks don't like that. Amen. And I'm not just saying this because of what I experienced earlier. For those of you all who was on Facebook and I had to kind of rebuke something and put something on blast, I'm not talking about, you know, just because of what happened earlier today when a so-called prophet has tried to curse me. Amen. I'm not talking about that. Amen. The Lord has been dealing with me about this for a while. Amen. I've had people who have not received the word of the Lord from me and have put their mouth on me and lost their whole ministry. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't have to do nothing. Amen. I didn't get in the flesh and curse them or nothing. I said, okay, well, I'm not going to argue with you, you know. And I left it alone. But best believe, they don't have no church no more. Amen, because they ignore the word of God. Amen. Just because it may not line up with what you feel like you think you're doing right does not mean that it's not a word from God. So if you know God has truly placed you with a man or woman of God who's operating in the kingdom, who's casting out devils, who's operating in signs and wonders, amen, then it'll be wise to stay where God placed you and not to come up against God's governing authority. Amen, because I'm going to tell you something. With the rise of these new breed of apostles and prophets now that the Lord is raising up, amen, these are ones that understand kingdom. Amen. Ones that understand kingdom. They're not with this old uptime traditional stuff. Amen. They understand their call in the context and light of the kingdom of God. They understand that they're kingdom officials and they're walking in full authority of it. Amen. And the Lord has given them authority, amen, to do what they're doing in the earth. Amen. And when the Lord gives somebody authority, you better not come up against it. See, my God. See, folks don't like that. Amen. Amen. Folks don't like that because we just want to continue to remain, you know, the way that we are, not submitted to God. Amen. Because understand this, if you're not truly submitted to God, you're not going to submit to a man or woman of God. Amen. You're not going to do it. Your first submission ought to be to God. Amen. So Israel wanted a man to reign over them as the person of God the Father. God took that to heart. But he said, you know what? I'm going to let a king reign over them. I'm going to give them the same measure of authority that I would have if I was reigning over them. Amen. And I'm going to let them just abuse their authority over them because that's what they're going to do anyway. And they can't come to me complain about nothing. I'm going to tell you something. Ever since Israel had kings, all the way up until the time they went into captivity, I'm telling you, ever since Israel had kings, every time the king sinned, they paid for it. See, in the book of Judges, they paid for their own sins. Look it up. Amen. In the book of Judges, they paid for their own sins. But in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, you know, and even the Chronicles of the King, all of those things, they paid for the sins, not only of their own sin, but they paid for the sins of the king. So if the king didn't do something, boy, they paid. Folks died and everything else. Oh, yeah. My God. So we must realize God's government, and we must begin to walk accordingly, because if we don't, amen, we gonna miss the Lord. We gonna miss what God is trying to release in our life. Don't you know I had to submit to people I didn't want to? Amen. Folks that weren't all the way straight. Because the Lord had to teach me about authority. Amen. He taught me about it real good too. Times I wanted to say something, whether they were right or wrong, God told me shut up. He did. He says, sit there, shut up, and be quiet. Don't say nothing. And I believe they was wrong. Matter of fact, I know they was wrong. But God said, be quiet. That was part of my training. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Be careful how you address a real man or woman of God. Not saying that you can't you know, say something is wrong, but in the manner that you say it. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to somebody. Amen. For real. I had an apostle friend call me today, shortly before I got on the show, shortly before I started this segment, and he had saw what happened with all that mess on Facebook and all that other stuff. Amen. When the prophetess tried to curse me and all this other stuff. He said, don't they know that, you know, even when we're wrong, they just can't come at us like that? Amen. You cannot rebuke your shepherd or your leader. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Lord have mercy. I'm going to just go ahead. I'm trying to tiptoe around it, but I'm going to just go ahead real quick. All right. When have you ever known anybody to rebuke an apostle? Only another real apostle can rebuke another real apostle. Amen. As wrong as Peter was at times, amen, Paul was wrong at times, but you know that none of the prophets rebuked them. Amen. But when it came time for a rebuke, who was it that came? Amen. Paul had to rebuke Peter. And Peter was the one who was over Paul. Amen. Look it up. Amen. So now prophets came and Agabus came and gave Paul a word of warning, told him what would happen to him when he go to Rome and stuff like that. You know, prophets can come and bring words of direction, amen, and if that apostle is flowing in error, amen, they may be able to bring, you know, some enlightenment to that error, amen, and slight correction, but never a rebuke. God ain't never called you to rebuke your leader, amen, and leaders, that's not for you to abuse it either, amen. Because there's some leaders that'll take that and run with it and will say, well, y'all can't tell me nothing, and I can prove it in Scripture. Y'all can't tell me nothing. No, because every leader should have counsel. Amen. Every leader should have counsel. God has 24 elders around his throne. Amen. Every leader should have counsel. Praise God. But understand this, y'all can't rebuke your leader. You can't sit him down. Only God can do that. Amen. Don't you know any real leader, God deals with them? I know he gets on me. Praise God. See, because understand this. In order to operate in the kingdom, we must understand authority, because the kingdom of God is built on authority. Amen. And we must understand that everybody does not have the same measure of authority. Amen. But whatever measure of authority that you have, do well in that. Amen. Rule your sphere of rule, amen, that which God has placed you over. Amen. Amen. Work that well. Amen. And if you be faithful over little, God will make you rule over much. Amen. But understand this, that God ain't call you to rebuke your leader. Amen. First of all, you should pray for him first. Amen. That's why the apostles, every time they wrote the letters to the churches, they said, pray for us. They always said, pray for us. Pray for us. Amen. But if you come at them sideways, then God got to side with them against you. Amen. Because you stepped out of line and you stepped out of place. Well, he a man just like me. Yeah, but you don't have the same measure of authority that he or she does. I know folks don't like it. Amen. We want to make everybody come and put everybody on the same level. You know, me and you on the same level, bruh. Well, me and you was on the same level. Amen. Then God wouldn't put you under somebody. Amen. To receive impartation. See, it's not about knowledge. Amen. Amen. So, let me tell you something. Timothy, for example, Timothy, right? Timothy was a young apostle, but he was over older people. And some of the older people had trouble submitting to the authority of the young apostle because they looked at his age. That's why the apostle Paul told Timothy, let no man despise your youth. Amen. So he was saying, look, walk in the authority that God has given you. And he had to give him wisdom on how to handle older people. He says, don't rebuke an elder sharply. an elder, that word is talking about older people, don't rebuke them sharply. He didn't say don't rebuke them. He just said don't rebuke them sharply. Amen. But talk to him like you would a father. Like if your daddy wrong about something, you know, you got to tell your daddy that you wrong. You would say it in a respectful manner, but you would let him know that, hey, you know, you wrong for that. Amen. I heard Tudor Bismarck say this one time. I believe it was him. He was saying how in his church, his natural father is his spiritual son. Now, I know folks don't like that. Amen. Folks may think that's a little crazy. Amen. But he said that his father is a son. Amen. And I'm pretty sure that he has that respect for that being his father. But when it comes to spiritual things, amen, that's his son in the Lord. See, in the kingdom of God, everything is spiritualized. So we can't judge it by how we judge it in the natural. Amen. Glory to God. And see, that's the problem. We're judging things by how we would judge it in the natural. And see, that's why we get carnal. Glory to God. That's why we get carnal. Amen. So we must accept God's government, but we must see it in the light in which God intended for it to be. Amen. The problem is we can't understand kingdom stuff, and we claim we're so spiritual, but we can't understand kingdom stuff, and kingdom is spiritual. Amen. A lot of what folks call spiritual is really not spiritual at all. It's just flesh trying to operate in the spirit. All right, y'all. Amen. So Israel rejected God's government. They wanted to be like the other nations. They despised God's ordained structure from his heavenly rulership over their earthly assembly. Amen. And they also despised ordained leadership that he placed over them. Amen. When you can't respect leadership, amen. I'm going to tell you something. As much as some of us don't like Obama, well, don't like what he does anyway, because there's plenty of stuff that I don't like that he does. Amen. But understand this, that I still got to respect him. The Bible says to submit to civil authority. Amen. So if that police officer come to your house and you act crazy, And he pulled that taser out on your behind, amen, and shock you with that taser, he ain't wrong for that, because he told you to hold your peace and you didn't. Amen. You done mass murdered about 50 people, and that judge done sentenced you to death. You think that judge going to go to hell? Amen. The Bible says that civil authority is only a threat to those who are doing unrighteous acts. Amen. Those who are in rebellion. Amen. Romans 13, read it for yourself. Talking about civil authority. Amen. So you just can't just do what you want to do and think ain't gonna be no consequence for it. If God tells us to respect civil authority, to respect police officers, to honor judges, amen. When are you in that courtroom, when that judge walk in, it said, all rise. Amen, you better rise. Police officer take you out there in handcuffs. When that judge say order in the court and you continue to be disorderly, oh, they will charge your behind and throw you straight in the jail cell. Amen. When you stand before a judge and you committed a crime, your life, your very life is in the hand of that judge. That's the type, and the Bible says all authority has been appointed by him. So if God gives a natural judge that much authority, amen, to take your life or to cause you to keep it, then what, see, amen. So you think God not going to, You think God is going to let you disrespect spiritual authority? Amen. And think that you just going to slide by night? Praise God. See, in order to be aligned with the kingdom, you got to understand the king. Amen. Jesus is king. Amen. Certain principles that he established when he was here on the earth. Amen. Certain principles he established here on the earth. Amen. Certain principles he taught the early apostles. Amen. And he made the Holy Spirit available. Amen. During his ascension. And as they continue to build the church, amen, and expand, and certain principles that the Holy Spirit taught them, amen, and the Holy Spirit taught them, amen, they begin to implement it. And even if you read, is either 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians 10, they started challenging the authority of the apostles, and the Apostle Paul said, look, you know, you want me to come in love or you want me to come with a rod, you know, because see, you all are seeking proof of whether God is speaking in us or not. Amen. And they started thinking that the apostles was of themselves and they was carnal. That's why he said we don't war according to the flesh. Amen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, that's in the context of them actually challenging the authority of the apostles. See, we use that as a warfare scripture, which, you know, I mean is all right. Amen, but that's not in the context he was speaking of. In the context he was speaking of was them actually challenging the authority of the apostles. Amen. And he was saying that you can't avenge disobedience until yours is fulfilled. Amen. See, we have to start looking at stuff in this proper context and not just taking one scripture, making a doctrine out of it, amen, and then just, you know, just running with it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Am I helping somebody? Amen. Glory to God. All right. So Israel wanted to be like other nations. They preferred the world system of governance, you know, instead of the kingdom system. Amen. They desired the world system of governing instead of the kingdom system of governing. Amen. Glory to God. All right. I'm almost done, y'all. I mean that. Amen. Much like the church, though, y'all, does today when it comes to God's government. Amen. Worldliness has caused the majority of the church to miss the kingdom of God. The Bible says in Hosea 13 that he gave them a king in his anger. That means that was not God's original intent for them to have a one-man governing system ruling over them. Amen. But actually to have a governor who was ruled by the king. Amen. Glory to God. And we know in the New Testament, amen, the Lord gave us the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Amen. These are different extensions of God's government in the earth. Amen. Different systems. Amen. And understand this, that apostles govern. Those of you all who was on Facebook saw that I posted that thing by Glenn Bleakney. Amen. Where he talked about the fivefold ministry. Amen. The fivefold ministry is well needed. Amen. We've been so pastored till we've become a soft and mushy. Amen. And we can't produce none for the kingdom of God. Amen. We become so pastorally, and understand this, I honor pastors. Amen. I honor pastors. But God's going to begin to realign all of this. Amen. Because God never meant for a pastor to be the senior leader of a church. I know traditionally we've been doing that for years and years and years and years. But if you look up, and I teach this all the time, bishop, elder, and pastor are the same function. There's no difference between the three. It's just that the words are used interchangeably to describe the same office of pastor. Amen. Understand that the word bishop was not even in the original translation of the scriptures, but it was the word overseer. Amen. Which was the same word that was paralleled with the word pastor and elder. Amen. So bishop was not even in there. And if you look up the function separately. You can break it up separately and look up the function of an overseer, an elder, and a pastor, and you'll see there's no difference in the function. Oh, my God. There is no difference in the function. Amen. But what Catholicism has done, Catholicism has broken all three of them up in separate categories. Amen. That's why you have now, even in the Protestant churches, you have, or even Pentecostal churches, you have the bishop over the elder, the bishop over the pastor over the elder, and the elders over the ministers. Amen. Which minister is not even being used in its proper context. Amen. It's a fivefold ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Amen. Leaders, stop calling your leaders ministers. Amen. Find out what their position is in the fivefold ministry and release them in that. Amen. See, the problem is that we don't teach it right. So that's why we scared to release somebody as a pastor in the ministry, because we so scared that they're going to try to take over the church or try to go off and do their own thing and leave and leave their post. But if you teach it right, amen, and begin to bring correction and deliverance, amen, because a lot of people need to be delivered from this traditional stuff. Once you begin to teach it in context, amen, then you'll begin to see all the gifts blossom. Amen. Pastors are needed in every church. I believe in Philippians 1, it spoke of bishops in plural context. And this was talking to one assembly group of people. Amen. So the Bible says that Paul ordained elders in every church. Amen. So every church should have a staff of pastors. Elders and pastors and bishops is always used in plural form, even when it comes to one setting, one local assembly. Amen. So every church should have more than one pastor, all right? More than one pastor. I just felt led to really establish that. Amen. Because in this season, God is going to begin to cause all this stuff to come into realignment. Amen. I'm starting a ministry, becoming a visionary of an actual local assembly was always either an apostolic or prophetic function. Amen. Even prophets can start ministries, and they believe just because they start a ministry that they call the pastor, then you end up having a prophet trying to pastor, and then you have the people thinking that leader is insensitive when really they're trying to operate in a grace in which God has not given them. Amen. But if that prophet has a staff of pastors that they have raised up, amen, under them, amen, and released them over the people, it'll be less stress off the prophet, amen, and then the people will be able to get the pastoral nurturing that they really need. Same thing when it comes to the apostle. Amen. Same thing when it comes to the apostle. But see, you know what it is? I went to a church one time, Lord have mercy. I went to a church where everybody was an apostle. What in the world is that? Everybody an apostle? Folks who weren't even called to be apostles, didn't have the apostolic on them whatsoever, called, made an apostle. And, of course, the other one was the chief. You know, amen. Not going to get too much into that. Amen. But then I went to a church where, you know, you had the apostle, but he had nothing but ministers under them. They had one pastor female who was over her husband. Amen. One pastor female who was over her husband, who was an evangelist, amen. She was a pastor, he was an evangelist, and, you know, everybody else ministers. Amen. And then the guy was clearly a prophet, but they called him an evangelist. I'm like, what in the world is this? I'm like, this is all out of order. And then the church went in there, and I'm pointing this out, not to bash that particular church. Amen. I'm not trying to bash that particular church, but I'm trying to show you the disorder here. This pastor was pastor probably for like 13 years. Amen. And the church is in the same condition that it was in when it was first established. Amen. 13 years? Ah, my God. But see, I remember what the Lord showed me a few years ago, that the structure is out of order. The reason why the churches are not prospering like they should, because they don't have the whole fivefold ministry in its rightful places. Amen. Amen. The evangelists are not evangelizing. The prophets are not really guiding and prophesying. Amen. Prophets are not really guiding and prophesying. Amen. Apostles, you need to meet and counsel with your prophets. Hodiabashiach. Amen. And if you don't have no prophets, amen, then you need to start praying for some. Well, I'm a prophet too. I'm the whole fivefold ministry. You know, don't you know that an apostle don't have to be all five? And most folks is claiming all five, really not. Well, I'm an evangelist because I travel. No, apostles can travel within themselves without being an evangelist. I just messed up some folks' theology right there, because some folks even teach the apostolic wrong. The apostle has to be all five. No, you don't. Amen. Yes, I'm an apostle. I'm a governor of the kingdom of God. I'm a prophet, but I'm not a pastor. Amen. That's why prophets and pastors and evangelists are being raised up now. Amen. In the ministry, because I'm not a pastor. See, amen. And some folks think that they just call to be all five. Now there are some who are called to be all five. Now there are different types of apostles, y'all, and I explain this in the teaching of the realignment of apostolic ministry. Amen. I taught on the different types of apostles. Amen. You have what you call apostolic apostles. These are apostles that walk in all five. Amen. Jesus was the best example of that. The only one that came close to it was the Apostle Paul. And notice I said he came close. Amen. You have prophetic apostles. You have like Barnabas, amen, who started off as a prophet. You had the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, the most prophetic book in the Bible. But he's a prophet, but he was an apostle. Amen. He was an apostle. And then you have evangelizing apostles. Timothy was an apostle, but the Apostle Paul told him to do the work of an evangelist too. Amen, because that was his first ministry prior to him entering into apostleship. Amen. Even when he was traveling with the Apostle Paul, that's the type of anointing that he had. Amen. Amen. So even teaching apostles, you have the best example of this is Apostle Paul. He said that he said in the book of Timothy that I'm made an apostle, a preacher, and a teacher to the Gentiles. Amen. And even the word evangelist means proclaimer or preacher of the gospel. So the Apostle Paul even had an evangelizing dimension that he walked in as well. Amen. He walked in three offices very heavily. Amen. But he stayed behind and he taught, but you didn't hear nothing about him officially pastoring anybody. Amen. But he taught. There's a difference. Amen. All right. So you have shepherding apostles like Peter. Amen. The Lord came to Peter. Amen. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Pastors are ones who feed sheep or herd sheep. Amen. He said, feed my sheep. This was an apostle. He was saying, feed my sheep. Amen. You notice these types of apostles, they are more stationary. Amen. They have the fruits of apostolic ministry. They may travel, but their heart is their main heart is for the sheep, and they become more stationary than the average apostle. Amen. All right. So I taught on that in detail in that teaching. So if you want to go to the archives and really read that and really look at it, amen. I believe that teaching will bless you, amen, especially if you are in the fivefold ministry, whether you're an apostle or a prophet especially. I believe that teaching will benefit you, amen. But understand this, y'all. We got to get back to, you know, kingdom, amen. We can't carry this thing like we've been carrying it for years. It's not working, amen. And I'm not just talking about trying to exalt some man as God or just trying to, but there's a system that God sets up, and if you go by that system, you will prosper and be blessed as well. Amen. And then after a while, you know, God will bestow great honor upon you. Amen. But don't expect, you know, God to have people to honor you when you don't even honor, you know, who he's placed over you. Amen. Or not even that. Amen. You don't honor who he honors in authority, period. Or you don't even honor your fellow brother and sister as just being a fellow brother or sister in Christ, because they belong to God too. Amen. So if you cannot honor, amen, who God has honored and can't see the measure of honor upon their life, amen, then you need to check your spirituality level. Amen. Amen. You need to check your spiritual meter to see where you are. Amen. Because understand this, that when we truly walk in the Spirit, we begin to see these things in its rightful perspectives. Amen. And I believe that, you know, even myself, I can really relate to this, you know, because, I mean, I had to honor people who I didn't think was right. Amen. Until a certain time where the Lord had me to break away. Amen. And the Lord actually had me to speak out against some things later on. Amen. So understand this, y'all, that I mean, you got to understand how the kingdom operates. Amen. You can only do that in the Spirit. Amen. And I really believe that, you know, I'm going to continue this teaching on kingdom realignment. Amen. It looks like something that I might be on for a little while, because, you know, it's just something that we have to get. Amen. You know, I'm very careful even now of who I put my mouth on concerning, you know, finances. Amen. Because some people have an anointing, amen, to bring people out of debt. I'm not saying that's their ministry. I don't believe your purpose is just to bring people out of debt. I don't believe that's your purpose. Amen. But some people can be anointed in that specific area. Amen. And if you put your mouth on the wrong one, because you got some crooks out here now, but if you put your mouth on the wrong one, amen, then you will end up not being able to prosper as well. Amen, because you don't know what God got them doing. Amen. That's why it's good to be in the Spirit, so that you know for sure what is of God, what is not, who is of God and who's not. Amen. Because, you know, if you don't use discernment, it'll be hard to tell the difference. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So, amen. I see Chief Apostle Kelly in the chat room. God bless you. Guest 7, God bless you. We have chosen for this. We got 2 callers from Virginia. God bless y'all. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. I'm getting ready to mute the lines. Unmute the lines at this time. Amen. If anybody have anything that they wanted to say or release, now is the time to do so. Tell you like you say, speak now, forever hold your peace. Amen. And Chief Apostle Kelly, if you have anything that you wanted to, if you had anything you wanted to speak or release, amen, you can call in as well. If not, amen, we're going to close this out. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. God is good. Amen. God is so good. Okay. Okay. Amen. Chief Apostle Kelly is calling. Amen. What do you have, I got to tell you? Amen. Just trying to unmute you here for a second. Okay. Okay, you're on now.
God bless you, man of God. I don't know your name, but I just wanted to speak into your life, just to say unto you to be encouraged as I listen to you. I don't often come on talk show except for when I'm teaching myself. And today the Lord just, I was in the living room watching TV actually, and the Lord said, go on to talk show. And so I go on to talk show, and I clicked the live, who is on live, and saw the ministry, Bread of Life, not bread of life, advance in the kingdom. And I said, oh, that's something I say. Let me see what this is about. And as I listened to you declare the word of the Lord, it blessed me. It is not often that people have it right. The church is in disarray, distorted, and perverted, and they wonder how a perverted spirit can just come and take over, because perversion comes in all manners, and it starts by teaching. And I appreciate it that you taught the word of God and it was correct according to the scripture and not to your own opinion. And I want to say unto you that the Lord keep you and bless you and give you long life, that you might continue to declare the word of the Lord. And I encourage all of you who have called in to listen to certainly call back, because this is good ground. This is good teaching. And I just want to speak God's blessing upon your life, that you would continue in the faith. I didn't want to just put it in the chat room. I wanted to say it myself and put it into the atmosphere as an apostle, because most people are just under false impressions of what the ministry is like. And so you have people running rampant and calling it God. But today I was blessed by the ministry that is inside of you, and I will forever continue to pray for you as you do the work of the Lord. God bless you.
Amen. I really appreciate that. Amen. And I definitely receive those words. Amen. Wow. Amen. Thank you so much. Wow. I wanted to address something real quick. I don't know who else. I'm kind of walking around right now. I don't know who all is on the call or in the chat room right now, but I want to address something real quick. For those of you all, you know, who have Facebook, and I just feel the need to address this real quick. There was something that happened earlier, where a woman, supposedly a prophetess, at least that's what she called herself, had inboxed me. But she inboxed me a very negative message, and she cursed me out, called me a B, and everything else, you know, and I'm still yet to know what it is that she was talking about, you know. And this woman acts very possessive over me a lot, and when I don't respond to her the right way or whatever, you know, she just acts a fool, or she thinks that, and she claims that, you know, she's assigned to me, and you know, all this other stuff, you know, and supposedly, you know, my deliverance came through her. And you know, and I haven't known this lady long. Matter of fact, I'm not even acquainted with her like that. You know, so for her to even mention that, you know, it's a bunch of foolery. Amen. I'm gonna use a word that I heard somebody else use: a bunch of buffoonery. Amen. That's some crap. Amen. And I really felt led to really bring some apostolic correction to that, because she had spazzed. That's like the third time this lady had spazzed out on me, you know. And so I put it out there, I really did. And I'm gonna go back and erase it later, you know, probably later on tonight or tomorrow. But you know, she had really acted a fool. Then she blocked me, then unblocked me, then saw what I wrote, and then started, you know. But the text messages and stuff like that, she had texted me, you know, because I tried to call to kind of like find out what it was she was talking about and why she cussed me out. And I called her to rebuke her too. So I left a message because she didn't answer. Then she texted my phone, and then she started talking about all this crazy stuff. And then she's trying to make it seem like I'm being disobedient, and if something happens to me, then know that it's God. And first, she said she's not trying to curse me, but then she's telling me that something going to happen and all this other stuff. And I'm like, yo, like, first of all, who are you talking to? It's like, yo, These are people who don't understand the kingdom. Amen. These people who don't understand the kingdom, you don't just talk to an apostle any kind of way. Amen. I respect the prophets. I wouldn't talk to a prophet crazy. Amen. I wouldn't talk to, matter of fact, I wouldn't talk to nobody the way that she talked to me. Amen. I don't care how bad you mistreated me. I wouldn't dare talk to nobody like that. Amen. This lady done cussed me out, act a fool, and then still claim she's saved and got the Holy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost anytime you cuss me out like that. Your Holy Ghost ain't real. I'm sorry. And she needs some serious deliverance. So, yes, y'all, I put it out there. And if she inboxed me with some more mess, well, but she don't get a chance to because I'll block her. Amen. But
may I say something to you, young man?
Yes, ma'am.
It's a lot of times when Maya Angelou said something, she says, believe what people say to you the first time they show you who they are.
Yes.
And what I'm saying to you is this is not the first occurrence of that.
Yes, ma'am.
This has been occurring a while. And so at the point that you realize that someone is acting improperly and abusing their authority, God does not require you to sit under it and be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter how often you have been around them or how little amount of time. Even when David was going to be anointed king, Saul sought his life. Saul, David never disrespected the call of Saul. He would have never had him killed. Matter of fact, he had the people killed that did kill him in his camp.
Uh-huh.
But what David did that was profound is, I'm not even going to deal with you. I'm going to leave you to yourself. And David left from in the midst of Saul. So what I'm saying to you as a man of God, first of all, two things. If someone is doing like that, You said it correctly. They are obsessed with you. If that be the case, that is the spirit of Jezebel. That's the spirit of control, which is a spirit of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, that is not a leader that you should stay under.
Mm-hmm.
Thirdly, you don't want to engage into what she's doing. Sometimes when people, whether it be male or female, in the church or out of the church, or people camouflaging as if they're in the house of God,
mm-hmm.
they will, if they can't get any attention from you, they will get negative attention from you.
Yes.
So that you can say, see how he is? See how he is?
Mm-hmm.
If I was you, I wouldn't wait till tonight. I would go and take whatever that is down. You're in the ministry. It is evident that God would have me come on this call knowing what has happened because I don't know you. I don't know what your Facebook name is, and that is none of my concern.
Amen.
But the concern of mine is, as an apostle of God, I'll say to you this. You've got too much word of God in you to be moved by the foolishness of the enemy, no matter who he's using.
Amen. You're right.
Because if people hear the word that you have just taught, and then see you caught up in foolishness like that, which is elementary stuff that people play in elementary school, not even high school, then
Amen.
They will look at the word of God in you, and then they would count it as, oh, here, that's one of those other folk. There's a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
You are not that. So what am I saying to you? As an apostle of God, I'm saying to you, stand up, square your shoulders, shake yourself off, and keep your focus on God.
Amen.
Shut that down. And you don't have to shut it down by nothing but blocking the person. Call your cell phone company up. Tell them, ask them, what do you do to block a phone number? Block that phone number. Therefore, she cannot text you. Because if you then refuse to block the text and refuse to block her, which I heard you say that you would block her, then that means something inside of you she has a hold on.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that there is nothing found in you that the enemy can use no matter what, even if it is someone initially approving of you and pushing you forward and encouraging you or anything like that. Because God
Amen.
Will raise up people for you.
just like God, minding my own business, could tell me, cut the TV off, go to talk show, of all things.
Amen.
So that I could hear you preach the word. The same God can send you powerful people and wholesome friends and wholesome people around you that simply celebrate you for you not wanting anything in return. So I
Amen.
Encourage you, shut that down. Don't let it even be on your broadcast.
Amen.
Because when people can't get to you, they'll come on your broadcast, listen to the archive and say, see, I got to him. Look at, he done turned this whole message, all that good message, then he talked about that. That's how
mm-hmm.
people do.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage you, take this, learn from this. I know it hurts. I've been in ministry 37 years. It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts when people do that, and especially people you look up to.
Mm-hmm.
But shake yourself and realize that the walk that God has for you is greater than what you are experiencing. In other words, your purpose is greater than your pain.
Amen. Amen. I definitely received that. She wasn't somebody that I was sitting under. Somebody who claimed to be acquaintance, but you know, I totally understand what you're saying, and I received that too. Amen. I definitely received that, and I appreciate those words, and I thank you.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. I appreciate those words. I really do. Amen. All right, y'all. Is there anything else to further claim my attention at this time? Amen. Amen. Anybody need prayer? Amen. Praise God. I remember last time we was on. Amen. Some folks was getting healed on the line. Praise God. God was really moving last time. Amen. And we want to believe for you again. Amen. Who is that? Who's that calling somebody?
Hello?
Hello? Yes? Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the phone was calling. The phone was dialing.
Oh, I don't know. My phone just is going crazy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know the feeling. My phone does that too. Amen. Well, no more prayer requests. Bless the Lord. We're going to close at this time, and you all, sometime next week, prayerfully, hopefully we will continue this teaching. There's more things that the Lord is showing me, y'all, and we're going to get deeper into this thing. Amen. And we're going to get some divine order in our lives. Amen. We're going to be divinely aligned in God's kingdom. Amen. That we may be able to operate in the kingdom. Amen. Ever since, I'm going to tell you something. There's powerful healings and miracles and demonstrations follow the teachings of the kingdom. I've seen some. I've seen awesome moves of God, you know, when we teach on the kingdom, and we teach on deliverance in light of the kingdom, amen, as well, because one of the ways the kingdom is advanced and demonstrated is through deliverance, amen. Deliverance ministry is very important, amen. I believe that every believer should be operating in deliverance. Notice I didn't just say every fivefold ministry, every preacher, every believer. Deliverance is the ministry of the believer. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He didn't just say apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors. Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. So if you are a believer, you should be moving in power. If you're a believer, you should be moving in demonstration. Amen. If you're a believer, amen, you should be able to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Amen, you have power, amen, and authority over all the works of the enemy. And see, that's my heart, to empower God's people to move in the kingdom. Amen, and I believe that should be the heart of every apostle and every leader, amen, and every pastor and every person who's leading in the ministry, whether you're the senior leader or a leader that's just laboring in the kingdom. Amen. You should have a heart to see God's people equipped and empowered. Amen. To do the works of God. Amen. So I definitely thank the woman of God for that word. Amen. And I do receive the correction. Amen. I do receive that. Amen. So y'all, I can receive correction too. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The Bible says a wise man loves correction. Amen. Only a fool would reject it. Amen. Only a fool would reject it. Praise God. So, amen. Well, if we get ready to close out, amen. God bless you. God bless you, Apostle. I appreciate those words. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for everything that you've done. God, everything that you are doing. Lord, I just ask that you would seal this word, Father, in the hearts of your people, God, that we may be able to move and operate in your kingdom, Lord. Lord, we just ask, Lord, there to be anything that's hindering the move of the Spirit of God. I just ask that you would begin to move it out of the lives of your people in Jesus' name, Father. Father, we know that religion is the major opposition against the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name that you would begin to remove every ounce of religion from your people, God, in Jesus' name, that we may move in kingdom authority, kingdom power, Father, that we may be able to see and perceive and understand the kingdom and understand your ways and understand your heart. So, God, we just love you and we praise you, God. Lord, you're just so good to us. We just love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. All right, y'all, till next time, I love y'all. Let's keep this thing kingdom. Amen. Glory to God.